This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa, internet world. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. How we doing today, West Alabama? It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are hanging out with us in the Bama Central YouTube channel, on the Bama Central Facebook page, right there on my own social media machines, at Joe Gaither 6. You can find the show. You can always find the show on your favorite podcast platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon. The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central is wherever you get your podcasts. We're live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios, right here off of McFarland Boulevard, just past the Tiger Rock. To your left, just as you get into Northport, you can call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much he can save you today on your home, your life, your auto insurance, renters insurance, boaters, RVs, really everything in the insurance realm. Derek Daniel can take care of you. Just call him today at 205-758-3391. Let him run an auto insurance quote for you and see how much money you can save. So he proudly presents the program, and we proudly talk about how much he helps us out. We're going to have a lot of fun today on a Football Friday. It's a huge, huge, huge Football Friday as Alabama is heading over to Athens tomorrow night, 6:30 on ABC. The Crimson Tide looks to go continue the bugaboo that Alabama has over Georgia. As when was the last time Alabama lost a regular season game to Georgia? 2007? Wow. So we'll see if that can continue. Obviously, don't play each other that many times. But we're going to talk about tomorrow night's game between Alabama and Georgia with our friends Mason Woods and Katie Windham. Follow Mason Woods, recruiting writer for the Walsh Writing Network, at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine, writing all things recruiting for Alabama, Boston College. Alabama, Boston College, and Vanderbilt, and Missouri. Sorry, I heard a little something in my ear. And then you can follow Katie Windham at KatieWindham_ on the Twitter machine, lead writer for BamaCentral.com, site editor for BamaCentral.com. She's going to be heading over to Athens, Georgia. And Mason, I'm sorry to skip you on how you're doing, but I want to know how Katie's doing, and I want to know about Crimson Flame. I want Katie to tell everybody right off the bat about her brand new podcast for the Bama Central Broadcasting Network, Crimson Flame. You can listen to her episode. She interviewed Gianna Paul, big-time soccer player, big-time scorer for Alabama soccer team. So good morning, Katie. How are you doing? Follow Katie Windham at KatieWindham_, and tell us about Crimson Flame. How's that starting for you?
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm doing well. Even though now I have 2 8 a.m. meetings during the week, getting up this early is still an adjustment for me. So I feel like I'm always like slightly dead on this. And it's just too early for me to put my contacts in. Really, if I put my contacts in, then everyone will be able to see how tired my eyes are. But besides that, I'm doing well. Yeah, so started a new podcast, just trying to live up to what these two do over here on the Bama Central Podcasting Network. But mine's a little different, kind of focusing on women's athletics at Alabama. Obviously, an angle that's not really being covered. And, you know, there's partially a reason, but also there's a lot of good teams, individual athletes at Alabama that kind of deserve that coverage. And then there's obviously some of the teams like softball that has more social media followers than any other team but football that do have a really large built-in fan base that are really interested in this. So, yeah, like you said, I had Gianna Paul, and it was really refreshing talking to her and like getting honest answers after being at football and then being so media trained, like talking to somebody that was just going to like talk about like, yeah, like I was really selfish when I was a freshman and sophomore and like would cry on the bus if I didn't score a goal or get an assist because I thought I wasn't helping the team, you know, like just some honest self-reflection. Not that like everyone's dishonest at football, but maybe not as open, maybe more guarded. And so it was nice to talk to somebody that wasn't being guarded when they were talking to me, and also being in the podcast format, you can kind of just flow a little better. And listening back, you know, I realized there's things that I'll continue to get better at as I interview, but it's fun, and I'm looking forward to having more guests and things to come as we continue to go throughout the semester.
Mason Woods has already subscribed to Crimson Flame on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, everywhere. So, Mason, how are we doing today? You ready for a big football weekend? We were just looking at the slate before we got going. Obviously, ooh, fun Thursday night game last night.
Did you see the fake field goal?
No, I missed most of the middle part of the game.
as I understand it, now I did not watch most of the game. I kind of had it on in the background, you know, but I saw the clip being resurfaced this morning or being thrown around this morning on the Twitter machine. And I think it was some sort of walk-on situation, walk-on holder situation, had just recently joined the team for ECU. And yeah, gets the call. They call his number on the fake field goal. I think they were up 21-6 or something at the time. It was, you know, set up for a short field goal. And he takes it for a touchdown. It was just a sweet play. Just love it. You know, you don't get things like that in the NFL. You only get that stuff in college football. It was amazing.
Okay, I'm looking at it right now. So Holder, yeah, Holder just takes it and runs. Good for him.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sweet. Yeah, I found him a little seam and hit the Jets. I'm doing good this morning, though. A little bit of recruiting news from yesterday that I can get into just a touch. I'll have a story on it later today, likely. Alabama landing in the top 10, which we can get into top 10s and stuff. But top 10 nonetheless for a 2027 recruit, Jabius Bigfoot Smith, 6'3", 200-pound running back / linebacker, 2027 kid. So probably specialize as he gets a little closer to his actual graduation. But as of right now, he's playing on both sides of the ball. And then the next guy, Jay Dowdy, who recently picked up an offer from Alabama, I believe about 2 weeks ago, maybe just a week ago. Another 2027 recruit naming the Alabama in his top schools. He's actually naming a top six, so that's a little closer to what we're looking for there.
So Alabama recruiting a Bigfoot and a Mooney at running back in 2027.
That'd be good.
Oh,
Bigfoot Mooney backfield. Give it. Sign me up.
Yeah, all name team. Absolutely.
You say like he'll get specialized when he gets closer. But like 2027 is not that far away.
That's true. Like, I mean, hey, he might just be an athlete. You never know. We've said it before on this show, but Travis Hunter has shifted the perception of every poison. High school athlete in the country to think that I, too, can play both sides at the highest level.
Poison the minds of children.
That's a lot harder to do than he made it look.
Unbelievable. So let's get into it. Let's have a lot of fun today. We had a lot of fun yesterday with Brooks Austin. Brooks Austin BA on the Twitter machine. You guys can check that out on the Bama Central, all the platforms we've already mentioned. We do have some voicemails, so I think we should lead off with the voicemails. Let our listeners kind of kick us off. We've got voicemails. You can call the voicemail machine at 205-462-7340, extension 800, predicting this Alabama and Georgia game. Everett Osmer saying good morning to everybody. So we say good morning to him. I know he's looking forward to being back here for the Vanderbilt game and probably on pins and needles for this Georgia game. You guys can call the voicemail line. I know Dax and Hunter have voicemails predicting this game. We're going to let them lead us off, and then we're going to kind of talk about what they have to say just a little bit. We'll get into the Georgia game. We'll do three keys to the game. Look, it's a traditional Football Friday episode. Keys to the game, three players to watch, and then we will make our pick. So stick with us. Let's get into this on the voicemail machine.
Guys, it is Dax. Happy Football Friday. I've had two very nice Georgia hate weeks. We won the bye week. I'll say that. Good job, team, on winning the bye week. It was close, but we did it.
Want to know?
I don't know. That Jamarian Latham engine kind of. Dude, what is going on with the injuries this year? It's kind of nuts. Like, the injury bug is bugging. It's biting. It's biting hard. We just need no more injuries throughout the rest of the season, please. I know they're going to happen, but, like, God bless. This is rough. Aside from that, okay, on to the Georgia game. It is going to be a shootout, in my opinion, because I think Georgia can run the ball, especially Gunnar Stockton. Runs a lot faster than everybody's been giving him credit for. So I think they're going to be able to run the ball pretty well on our defense, because we have not shown yet that we can stop the run in any sort of fashion. However, our passing game has drastically improved since last year, and Georgia's pass defense has not improved. If anything, Georgia's pass defense has gotten, I don't want to say drastically worse, but it's like their secondary is not the best. And in order for Alabama to win this game, we've got to do what we do best, and that's pass the ball. So I think it's going to be ridiculously close, like every single Bama-Georgia matchup that's been the past 3 or 4 years. And I'm going to be unapologetically homerific and say Alabama wins in Athens, mostly because Georgia hasn't beat us, and I'm like, you know, besides the one national championship where if J-Mo wouldn't have got hurt, we would have won. So, Georgia, are y'all actually going to get this Bama monkey off your back? I don't think you're going to, because roll tide, and I'm an Alabama fan. I think Bama's going to win the game 45 to 40, and it might, yeah, 45 to 40, because we have a last second, a last 2 minute drill at the end of the game, and Ty Simpson's going to lead us to victory, like I have been calling, you know, since the summer. So hope y'all have a good one, and I will be screaming a lot tomorrow night. Love y'all, boys, and Roll Tide.
What's going on, boys? It's game day eve. Just like that, we are one day away from the biggest game of the year. And my biggest takeaway from this week here in the players and coaches talk is still the offensive line. You know, we're going to rotate, from what I'm hearing from Grubb, from what I'm hearing from the other players, we're going to rotate the offensive line. And my biggest question with that is how have they divided the reps up in practice? Is it like the quarterback position where, you know, the backup hardly ever sees any reps in practice, or are they rotating constantly, or how are we getting everyone prepared to play in the game that's going to be playing in the game? You know, that's still my biggest concern. I don't really know what's going to happen.
I think Hunter got cut off right there, but that's okay. We appreciate Hunter and Dax jumping in on the voicemail machine. Dax saying 45-40, Dax, 45-40, Alabama, excuse me.
Katie, I mean, Dax would be a winner, too, in that scenario.
Yeah, he would be. He would be doing a big old backflip, absolutely. What do you think about that high-scoring game? Go ahead, Mason. I think Katie's frozen.
Oh, I mean, I'm pretty much in agreement with almost everything Dax said right up until the very end there when he picked Alabama to win. Unfortunately, I still am kind of in the camp that Georgia is maybe going to pull out this victory, but I do think he is correct in that it's going to be a high scoring game. I'm not really overly confident in either defense being able to stop one another. I think, I don't know. I want to say Alabama has an edge offensively, because I think on paper, if you just stack up both offenses, you'd probably take Alabama's. But I think matched up against both defenses, it just gets interesting, because I don't really trust Alabama's inside linebackers. I don't really trust Alabama's ability to generate any meaningful pressure on the quarterback. I do trust their secondary to maybe hold up against Zachariah Branch. But you can only hold up for so long. If guys aren't getting pressure and forcing Gunnar Stockton off his spot and into uncomfortable situations, he will just sit there and pick you apart. He'll find the open man there. There will be somebody that gets open eventually. So, you know, I don't know. I just don't know that I trust the matchups there. I think Georgia has a more favorable matchup against Alabama than Alabama does against Georgia, if that makes, you know, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. What did you make about Brooks's point yesterday? First team to 30 wins. I did go back after he said that and started looking at it, and it's like wild how many times, if you can get to that 30 point margin or that 30 point threshold, you're basically home free.
It's interesting.
Receive the ball, Kalen.
I think there may be something there, but I think it probably is just one of those, it's a strange coincidence kind of thing where it just so happens that all of those games have lined up that way. You know, I don't think that you can really track trends like that across game to game, across, you know, however many games it's been for Alabama versus Georgia. You may see some things, but I don't know that you can really actually apply them to what's going to happen on the field. It will be a high scoring game. I would not be shocked to see both teams above 30 points.
Receive the ball, go for two.
That's
get to 30 as fast as possible.
Absolutely. We'll secure a victory.
Katie, Hunter on his voicemail was talking about offensive line rotation. We've been kind of bantering about that all throughout the week. So what do you make about Alabama's offensive line? We've seen them for 3 weeks kind of moving guys in and out. Now, they had the bye week, so they could be settling on a first five or a group of five. But Parker Brailsford and Ryan Grubb, basically everybody has said we're going to keep rotating. Now, maybe that's just speak for us and speak for the media. What do you make about the offensive line rotation for the Crimson Tide?
Yeah, I think me and you talked about this on Monday before, like, the press conference even started, that it's honestly confusing to me. Like, I just, especially after we talked to Caden Proctor last week, and I think he expressed what most of us fans and media think of, like, yeah, it's okay to rotate at the beginning of the year, but we need to find our best five so that we can play with consistency so that the communication can be there. And so, I mean, but then at the beginning of this week, the coaches said they're still going to rotate. And I would think this is a big game. I don't know. It's just confusing. It's like, how do you not know after spring football, all of fall camp, three games, you still don't know, like, who's your best right tackle? Like, you don't know. Like, I feel like you do. But, like, is it y'all really just do love rotating and keeping guys fresh? Is it you're trying to keep y'all happy because of the portal? And you want to keep all, as much depth there as possible? Because I think you look at what happened with, like, inside linebacker where – they had these veteran guys come back, and so then somebody like a Justin Okoronkwo left to go to South Carolina, and they're like, wish we had that piece. Like, so you don't want to lose some of these younger in-between guys on offensive lines, the portal, that aren't happy, so you're not getting playing time. But then the people you're rotating at guard are all in their last year of eligibility. So I guess that's not really a good argument. I don't know. Like, maybe this is the game that I think I'm back. Question.
Yeah, there you go. You said maybe this is the game.
The game that one way or another, that makes them decide, like, okay, based on, like, if somebody does really well or really poorly, that, okay, this is who we're going with moving forward. So I don't know. We'll see. Somebody asked me on a show I was on earlier this week if I thought Michael Carroll would start at right tackle, and I said, no, I don't. I think it'll be Wilkins starting. I think Michael Carroll will play. How much? That's to be seen, obviously.
Well, we're going over to Athens tomorrow. You're going to see him at 6:30. Follow Bama Central's coverage, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Katie, have you ever been to Athens?
I have, when Alabama played there in 2015. But that's probably the rainiest game I've ever attended, like, in person as a fan. And so didn't really get to explore a lot of the campus or see much. So basically, I think we parked, went to the stadium, watched the game, walked back to the car. And we probably drove back to Montgomery because I think it was a 2:30 CBS game. So, like, really didn't – I don't even know if we probably didn't even eat a meal in Athens. So I have been, but only once. So I'm looking forward to seeing a little more of the campus this weekend.
I need to connect you with my parents. My parents graduated from there in the early 80s. Obviously, things have changed since then. But been to Athens many times as a kid. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys, what your experiences are like. I think that it's a pretty little SEC city. And so I think you're going to have a lot of fun, at least from an experience standpoint. Mm-hmm. Mason, what have we left off the table? We've got, or should we just jump into three keys? Because we've talked a lot about this game for really 2 weeks now. Have we left anything off the table, or do you have any questions for Katie?
Oh, I don't think I do. I mean, I think she pretty much hit the nail on the head. That I feel like all of us know the biggest kind of thing that we're watching for is what this offensive line is going to look like this week. What does rotating mean? What exactly is that going to mean for this game? Is that going to be what Katie said and what I think you and I also both assume is that Wilkins is going to start the game and then we'll see Michael Carroll rotate in? Is it going to be a situation where Michael Carroll gets out there and it's totally up to him how much he plays the rest of the game? Or are they going to just consistently decide to rotate Wilkins back in? I don't know. I am interested. That is the thing I'm watching for the most in this game, I think, though.
All right, well, let's get right into to keys for the game. Katie, if you're ready, we can go ahead and jump into that. We'll do keys to the game. We'll each go, Katie, Mason, and then myself. I'll read a quick little Derek Daniel ad, and then we'll get into players to watch, and then we will make our pick right here on Football Friday on the Joe Gaither Show. So, Katie Windham, BamaCentral.com lead writer, what are your keys to the game for the Crimson Tide?
Okay, so our keys to the game are different than our players for the game, right? Yes. Clarifying. Yeah. Also, hopefully I will not freeze through this whole thing. If I do, just kick me off. I've done multiple shows this week and it's worked. So I was really hoping this, but I feel like because I've had such good success all week, it was just due to crap out on me.
Only 30, 40 more minutes. You got it. Your internet's got it.
Yeah. I think the first key to the game, which I mean, I guess a lot of these could tie to individual players, but I think the key is going to be how calm can Ty Simpson remain? I think we saw in the season opener, he obviously had a great first drive. And then really, like, immediately after the game, I feel like in the post-game press conference, that was, like, maybe the most, like – and it's still Kalen DeBoer, so it wasn't like he said anything horrible. But, like, maybe most, like, outwardly negative towards a player I've ever heard Kalen be, just, like, talking about Ty's decision-making and some of the things he wished he could have had back. And I think because Alabama started trailing, because they faced that adversity, he started pushing and trying to make hero plays and instead of just taking the play that was in front of him. And so I think they're going to put a lot on Ty's shoulders in this game just because of the lack of success in the run game so far, and then just because Georgia's more susceptible probably in the pass game than the run game. And so can Ty Simpson remain calm under pressure? The key or the theme from the players and coaches this week, really the coaches more so, I guess, was how will they respond to adversity on the road? That's something they got to get better at. That's something they haven't done well in all these losses. You know adversity is going to come. How are you going to respond to adversity? So I think and that really starts with Ty. Am I doing all three or am I just
keep going? You're doing great.
Okay. I guess I'd say a second key is how can Alabama actually run the ball effectively? Because as Ryan Grubb said on Monday, that helps alleviate some of that pressure off Ty if you can run the ball. I think you're obviously getting Jay Miller back. Is he like actually able to go at full speed? I think it's encouraging that it wasn't like a lower body injury for a running back, that you know he's worried about cutting and things like that. But is he worried about taking hard hits on that collarbone, things like that? So just can Alabama actually open up the run game this week? And then I really should probably do a defensive one, but I think I'm going to head to special teams for my third key, because we really haven't seen a lot of Alabama special teams the last couple of weeks, because the offense has been so good that they've barely had to punt, and then they haven't had to attempt many field goals either. And then we kind of saw some interesting things in the kickoff game against ULM. They were squibbing it, and then against Wisconsin after the penalty, they had the kickoff return for the touchdown. So I think a key is you cannot make a big special teams blunder on the road in this environment. I talked about against Florida State, you don't want to miss a field goal. I think the missed field goal against Florida State was maybe more of a coaching decision than just – or a coaching mistake more than a – I mean, yes, he missed the field goal, but, like, I don't know if, like, that's in his range. So I think you've – the returners cannot drop the ball. The punts have to be clean, and the kicks, I don't think you want to miss – a kick on Saturday and get that Georgia crowd even more fired up than it probably already is going to be.
First game, Georgia gets into Marshall's backfield, blocks a punt, and sets Sanford Stadium on fire. So,
it's the last thing you need.
Yeah, absolutely. Mason Woods, your keys to the game for the Crimson Tide are?
I'm in agreement with Katie on just about all of her keys right there. So, I think she nailed a lot of them. I'm going to go to the defensive side of the ball, though, just because she didn't. So we'll go right there. I think first you got to limit quarterback run opportunities. This has been a thorn in Alabama's side for 2 years now. So we will hopefully see what you can do against Gunnar Stockton, who is not one of the more athletic quarterbacks you are facing. He is an athletic quarterback, but you have faced off against Thomas Castellanos, who, in my opinion, is significantly more athletic, significantly more dangerous in the open field than Gunnar Stockton is.
So, a little shiftier.
Yeah. I think that, you know, you still have to limit his opportunities, though. You have to be gap sound in your rushing. You have to not keep those wide open holes for him to run up in and get those third and eights, get those third and longs. So you have to limit that. And then also defensively, you have to limit explosive plays. You can't let Zachariah Branch go over the top for a long touchdown. You know, I'm sure all of us saw the tweet yesterday from PFF, Damani Jackson, in like 52 coverage snaps this year, zero catches allowed. Hated just the worst possible timing for that tweet to come out. But it stands nonetheless. Damani Jackson is a stud. We've been talking about it on this show for 6 months, if not longer now. He's going to be put to the test this week, though. You know, I'm sure he won't be specifically every down covering Zachariah Branch, but a lot of times I imagine he will. So he will be put to the test. So we're going to have to see what Alabama secondary is really made of. This is going to be probably the biggest test they've faced this year. And then the last thing, let's see. I do have one offensive one, but I feel like I should stick with the defense.
No, do what you want to do. It's all good.
All right, we'll throw the offensive one in here. I think if you're Alabama, you need to work in some shots against this Georgia defense. You need to take your opportunities, because I think they are a bit weak in the secondary. I think they're a little bit weak, you know, outside of the front seven there on this Georgia defense. So you need to work in some deep shots to get Ryan Williams involved, to maybe get a guy like Isaiah Horton involved if Ryan Williams is getting a lot of attention from the coverage. I just think you need to work in some, like, hey, we're going to take some deep shots here, because I think you'll have opportunities there.
I love it. I think both of y'all are all over this game so far. All right, so my keys to the game are maybe too simplistic, but really, I think you must win the turnover battle. I think that's the first thing that you got to do, because I do think that the high scoring kind of talk is probably going to be about right. And so the first time that you can get off the field, or the first time you can get a turnover and get positive field position, I think you can really flip this game. And it kind of ties into Katie's special teams blunders. You can't have a special teams blunder and really flip the field. So I'm sticking with the turnovers on the first one. You got to win the turnover battle. Tennessee had a couple opportunities to turn Gunnar Stockton over and drop some footballs, and so you've got to pull him in when you have opportunities. I think Gunnar is a good quarterback, and I think he's largely a careful quarterback, so when he does give you those opportunities, you got to take advantage of it. And really, Alabama has not turned the ball over much offensively this year. I don't think any. Am I missing one?
Alabama is one of, like, six FBS teams that hasn't turned it over at all. Not to put another jinxing stat out there, but I think that is a good point though, Joe, and the key, like, because they talked about response to adversity, and they really haven't had that type of adversity yet, if the fluke interception or just the really bad interception, and how do you respond to that? So I think that is going to be a key to watch this weekend for sure.
Right, and Nate Frazier fumbled against Austin Peay, fumbled right into one of the governor's defensive hands. Like, the guy just caught it. It popped out, and the guy just caught it. So you've got to take advantage of Georgia gives you opportunities defensively. I think that you're going to have a hard time getting traditional defensive stops, getting them into, oh, it's third and five, and Alabama stopped them. Great job. So when there's opportunities to get a turnover, you got to take advantage of it. My biggest thing is I hope Alabama can play from ahead, because I do not really trust this team playing from behind. To Katie's point, playing through adversity, if you get down 10 to nothing, I think that spells pretty big trouble for Alabama. So, and to Brooks's point, get to 30 and you win. Receive the football. I think these first couple series are going to be super important to start to build some momentum. I mean, you were down 14-0 to Vanderbilt by the time you had the ball the second time last year, because they went right down the field and scored, and then Jalen Milroe threw a pick six. And so it's like, you have to play from ahead. I think this team has to play from ahead. So for me, it's winning the turnover battle. It's playing from ahead. And I'm going to steal from Nick Kelly. NickKellyAL.com put out a tweet yesterday about how both pass rushes are in the hundreds on generating sacks. Not very good. Alabama's and Georgia's. Georgia only getting one sack against Tennessee, one sack and one quarterback hurry. And obviously Aguilar's a good quarterback and gets the ball out, and Heupel has a good offensive system. Well, so is Alabama. Alabama's got a good quarterback system, and Ty Simpson, I think, is pretty good at distributing the football. Can he play clean game, not be sacked, and can Alabama get after the passer? So who wins the sack battle? Who puts more pressure on the quarterback? And I guess that kind of ties into the turnovers. You can generate some turnovers if you put some pressure on the quarterback. So those are my keys. I'm going to go, who wins the turnover battle? Can you put pressure on the quarterbacks? And can Alabama play from ahead? Those are my keys to the game for the Crimson Tide. I think if you win those three categories, you're going to walk out of Sanford Stadium feeling pretty good about your chances to win.
I like all those. I like the playing ahead. From ahead, they have. I think if you look at, I guess in the Jalen Milroe SEC championship game, were they behind in that game?
That's a great question. That's
the Bryce Young 2021 one. They got ahead, and I think that Georgia just couldn't catch up. Jordan Battle had the pick six, I think maybe, but like, and then in the 2012 SEC championship game, they fell behind. But obviously, that was a long time ago. I think this team, yeah, specifically, they have not shown a great ability to come back. Really.
Georgia goes up 7-0 for a while, Alabama 7-3, then Alabama takes a 7-10 lead and then starts to stretch it. 17-7, Georgia gets to 10, still a 7-point lead, Alabama re-stretches it back to 10. Yeah, so basically Alabama fell behind 7-0 and then scored 17 unanswered points.
I just couldn't. For some reason, I couldn't remember if that one was a double digit. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't think this team, especially on the road, needs to get into a double digit deficit.
I mean, you fell behind at Oklahoma. Pretty much, they had that long drive, and that's the drive that Alabama fans really remember. Oh, the defense sucked. Well, the defense didn't really suck in that game. It was just one drive. Oklahoma gets ahead. Oh, yeah. On the road, especially with a team that doesn't deal with adversity well, I think this team. under Kellen DeBoer has been a bit of a front runner. When they're doing well, it's, oh, we're doing well and nobody can touch us. And when it's going bad, it's, oh, we can't pull ourselves out of a hole here. So I'm going to be really interested to see the mentality if Alabama falls behind. But if I were on the coaching staff or administration staff, I would say, Coach, let's receive the ball and try to play from ahead here. Let's keep going right into three players to watch. We'll let Katie name three players that she's got her eye on for the Crimson Tide. We'll go all three of us go three players to watch, and then I'll read my Derek Daniel ad, and we'll make our picks for the weekend. Katie, who are your three players to watch for the Alabama Crimson Tide as they go into Athens tomorrow night?
I think first I'm going to go with Isaiah Horton because I think Alabama's best chances to score are going to be in the pass game. And I think obviously because of what happened with Ryan Williams last season and then just what Jeremy Bernard and Ryan Williams have been doing this season, I feel like the Georgia defense is going to be really keyed in on them. And I think we're still kind of looking for that breakout game or movement from Isaiah Horton from transferring in from Miami. And he's very focused on being at Alabama now, in case you want to check out his interview last week with you can go watch it on the Bama Central YouTube page. He's very focused on being at Alabama. And last week, he's very focused on the bye and getting better. So this week, he's probably really focused on Georgia. And I think this game is an opportunity for him to kind of step up and have a big moment. I think defensively, this might be kind of like a cop-out, but I think Tim Keenan is just – how effective is he going to be able to be in his return? But I think just the fact that he is able to return to be that leader in the field, they've kind of talked about this team maybe doesn't have a ton of vocal leaders, and he's one of them. He's one of those guys that's going to get in people's faces. And so maybe when that adversity comes or things aren't going right, he may not be at 100%, but he's going to be able to kind of get on guys that aren't. And then kind of, I guess, to do another easy one and go back to my three keys to the game, I think Ty Simpson, this is a huge game, a huge moment for him. I think if he loses, if Alabama loses, even if it's not necessarily his fault, I think there's going to be a lot of, should we switch quarterbacks? So I think this is a big game, big moment, big opportunity for him, a big opportunity for him to shake off what happened at Florida State. He's been great the last 2 weeks, great, but like the competition level maybe not as high. So can he be great against a really good defense in a tough environment and lead Alabama to a road victory?
Mason Wu is going into Athens tomorrow night, Sanford Stadium. Haven't been there in 10 years. Who are Alabama's three players to watch for you?
I'll start with a guy I already mentioned a little bit in my keys to the game there, Damani Jackson. I am interested to see what Damani Jackson can do against Zachariah Branch, to see if they can limit the ability of Zachariah Branch, because I think that's probably the best receiver he has faced so far this season. Might be the best he faces all season. I just want to see what Damani can do. If he can keep up this coverage snap, zero pass or zero catches a lot, if he can keep that streak up, that will be incredibly impressive for him. Mm-hmm. I think just as a base, just if you can limit the one shot over the top, you have a pretty good game against Zachariah Branch here. Let's see. The next one I'm going to go with, we'll stick with the defense, and I kind of almost just wish I could take an entire position group, inside linebackers, but I'll pick one from the bunch here, and I'll go with Justin Jefferson. I haven't been overly impressed with what I've seen from him so far this season. I think he's bounced back a bit after a real tough week one in the last 2 weeks, but like Katie just said, the competition has not necessarily been there. So I'm still not super impressed with what I've seen from him this season. Now, this is an opportunity against the best competition he's faced so far to prove me wrong, and I hope that he does, but that's just something I'll be watching for. I'm looking to see if he can be that aggressive linebacker that Alabama needs, if he can make some plays happen. I know that he's a little bit on the smaller side. I think I've called him a safety on this show before, but I want to see him playing that role that Alabama's looking for at that linebacker position. And third, we'll move over to the offensive side, and another guy that I think I've already mentioned, Michael Carroll. He will be playing in this game at least some. I want to see what we get from the freshman. He is going to have his feet held to the fire in this game. And it's going to be sink or swim out there, I think. I am in the opinion that maybe he will persevere and swim and take over the job, but we will just have to see. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You said Michael Carroll for your third. Sorry, I was keeping my notes up. Yeah. Michael Carroll. All right. So I'm having a hard time because I got four in my brain.
I really love Katie's Isaiah Horton pick.
Yeah.
He was definitely on my list.
I have four in my brain, but I think I'm settled on three right here. My three players to watch, the first player to me is 74. I mean, golly. Yeah. Caden Proctor, you're going to have to pass protect. You're going to have to be basically the bulldozer in the running game. Like, start moving some people.
Let's see if the hot works is paying off.
Right. Start moving some people off the line of scrimmage. Can you get to the second level? I think Caden Proctor is my number one player to watch for this game. Can you protect Ty Simpson? Can you protect the blind side? I think Georgia is going to be dialing up some pressures, and I think that, look, if you are going to run the ball, it's going to have to start with you, Caden Proctor. I do think that Parker Brailsford is pretty athletic and has done pretty well for the offensive line. You need a second offensive lineman to be playing well. I think that's really been the crux or the reason that Alabama's been rotating, is because you haven't found really four other offensive linemen that are playing at a high level. They're playing at a level. They're playing at, maybe.
Good enough
level
for people that don't watch super closely not to blame them.
Yes, exactly. For sure. But for me, my biggest player to watch is Caden Proctor. Number two, going the exact opposite side of the ball, is Quay Rousseau. You're going to have to get after the passer. You're going to have to hold the edge. You're going to have to hold the edge and be disciplined. I would love your Justin Jefferson pick. I think the inside linebackers have to play with good eyes the entire game. You read your keys. Look at the guards. The guards will take you to the football. Yeah. Don't be, you know, and if you've got quarterback, scrape to the quarterback. If you've got running back, crash the running back.
Do
like
your job.
Right. Just man your position. But for me, Quay Rousseau becomes my representative of this, because I think he's going to be read fairly often in short yardage situations. And if you're able to get to long yardage situations, well, Quay, I don't trust LT Overton. I just don't. So I don't trust LT. I need you, Quay Rousseau, to get after the quarterback and bring him to the ground. Not just two-hand touch. Who was – it was Katie's husband. Katie's husband, Tony, last Friday, we were hanging out talking. I don't think he'd be embarrassed by this. He said, is LT Overton the greatest two-hand touch player of all time? And I said, maybe. So I don't trust LT. Quay has to be the guy to crash whichever tackle he's on. Just, I mean, we saw he smoked the Wisconsin tackle on that one sack. So, like, can you channel this inner pass rusher and get after Gunnar Stockton, make him feel you? Because if you can speed him up, I've seen this year, if he gets sped up in the pocket, he'll bail quickly, or he'll throw in a spot he's not exactly sure. But when he's sure, when he's comfortable, that boy can deal. Mm-hmm. I think Gunnar Stockton's a real good quarterback. So, Quay Rousseau, can you speed him up? And my third, goodness gracious, I wanted to take Lozia Brooks. I wanted to take him. But for me, it's Bray Hubbard.
Love that pick, too.
Because all of this...
Tone setter.
Right, tone setter. But all of this is filling in the run game. And all of this is, can you, when they throw a screen pass out to Zachariah Branch, will he bring him down? Will he take a good angle? I mean, Tennessee's safety took the most dog poo angle in the world and got himself walled off in a block, and Zachariah Branch went 40 yards on a screen pass. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, you didn't even ask Gunner to throw a hard pass. It was a 2-yard pass, and Zachariah Branch's athleticism just took it 45 yards because the safety didn't take a good angle. You've got to bring these guys to the ground. And if Gunner is pulling the ball on read options and trying to hit you on the edge, well, Bray, you're going to have to make him pay. Yeah. He might get some yards, but you're going to have to make him feel you. So I think that Bray's impact on this game is going to be tremendous. You go back to week number one, he still, in my opinion, got so much to really, I don't want to say answer for, but yeah, answer for. I don't think that anything has been proven in week number two and three against ULM and Wisconsin. I think this is the team and Bray's next actual opportunity to answer the questions that are still lingering from that Florida State game. So my three players to watch for this game are Caden Proctor, Quay Rousseau, and Bray Hubbard. With an honorable mention for Lozia Brooks.
I did think it was really interesting on y'all's segment with Brooks Austin yesterday when he talked about that the pass rushers like themselves aren't really, he doesn't think, are like the problem. I thought that was interesting.
I didn't want to like just say no, you're wrong, because he's a guess, but I'm just not very, I haven't been impressed with that with them as a whole.
I saw some discussion yesterday. I think it was from Clint Lamb on Twitter, kind of had a thread about it, mm-hmm. about Quay Rousseau not necessarily getting the dedicated pass rush reps that maybe he needs in order to be successful as a pass rusher. And I wonder if that is just a symptom of Alabama not necessarily trusting some of the guys behind him to maybe step into a role where they're the ones dropping back into coverage, or they're the ones covering, you know, doing other things outside of just strictly pass rushing. I wonder if we see that change this week. I don't really know. You know, I think one of the guys he mentioned in that thread was Justin Hill. You know, just a freshman, not really. I mean, he's been okay this year when he's been on the field a little bit, but, you know, not really sure what you have there yet. So I do think that maybe is part of it, though, that Clay Broussard just doesn't get the dedicated pass rush reps that he needs in order to kind of get consistently going there.
Right. The structure of the defense, you're playing Wolf and you're playing Husky on opposite sides, and they're doing similar things as far as run game contain and similar things as far as flat, curl flat, kind of hook zone. You know, you got to drop out sometimes. Just depends on what Kane wants to do. And so sometimes it's like, are you bringing the band? Like, it's just the structure of the defense. And I know
it feels
a lot
like sometimes it needs to be simplified. It's just, hey, guys, go get the quarterback.
Yeah, we've seen that. I will say, Kane has thrown the Nick Saban 3-4 out there a couple times this year. I'd like to see that a little more. And I know it might be antiquated, but I would like to see that a couple of times this week. Oh, I'm getting nervous. I'm getting excited.
Has your confidence shifted at all?
Actually, honestly, yesterday in the middle of the day, you start to see the Kalen DeBoer. What was his record off a bye? 9-0 or something like that. Kalen DeBoer off a bye. And then I thought about, man, the team did really play well on the road at LSU after a bye last year. And I thought, wouldn't it be something to go in? You've had 2 weeks off. Yeah, my confidence has gone from a 2 to about a 5. We'll say that. I think it's I've gone from, man, there ain't no way, to maybe, yeah, if you catch a break or two, this team can pull it off and win in Athens.
I mean, look at what they did last year against Georgia coming off a bye. Came out and scored the first 28 points. So
that played into it as well. It's like, I wonder if the coaching staff says, ooh, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. They won't see it coming, and we're going to have this whole plan rolled out. And
yeah, he's got 80 plays scripted right now to
start
the game.
Please do it. Start fast. Stay ahead. Start fast. Stay ahead. Play from ahead. And how many plays can you hold in your brain, Ty Simpson? How many? We're going to get the script rolling right here. Oh, let's go ahead and tell everybody about Derek Daniel, and then we will make our picks for really all across college football. It's a huge college football weekend, and we will wrap it up with our final thoughts and picks for this Alabama game against the Georgia Bulldogs. We want to remind you we're live in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios. Call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. He can help you with your home, your life, your auto insurance needs. Call him today. It'll be a quick call to get you an auto insurance quote. Red is upstairs right now. I know my man Theo about a month ago switched to Derek Daniel, and he came back in the studio and goes, Joe, he's saving me like $100 a month. And look, I know $100 a month can go in a lot of different directions for all of our listeners. So I appreciate you if you would give him a call. Just getting your auto insurance quote doesn't mean you have to buy. You can get a quote. If you don't like the number, then you can say thanks, but no thanks. So give him a call. Give him a try at 205-758-3391.
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
All right, so Katie's going to be going to Athens, and so she's really going to be locked into this game. It's tough to watch all the other games when you are on location, especially when you're on the road. But I want to go through this slate. You've got a huge slate of games this week, a huge slate of good games. I'm not necessarily sure it's going to be a good game, but I do want to start with tonight, Florida State. We are going to continue to pay attention to Florida State on this program as long as the season goes on. They are 3-0. They're going to Virginia, and Florida State hasn't played anyone since they waxed Alabama, but they are 6.5-point road favorite. A lot of people are liking the Cavaliers, right? Virginia Cavaliers, which I don't understand. Katie Windham, will Florida State keep it going and make that loss look not so bad for Alabama?
I just pulled up the ESPN app to look at that. Yeah, and the line's only Florida State by 6.5. So I don't know anything about Virginia. But I think Florida State's going to win. I think for Alabama's sake, I think you want Florida State to keep winning.
By a lot. Mason Woods, they're going to take them behind the woodshed.
Maybe.
Okay, keep going.
I'm looking at this Virginia team. I'm purely box score watching here. Take that, take everything I'm about to say with a massive grain of salt, people. I have not watched this Virginia team with my own eyes. I do not know what they're about, but I am looking at this, looking at the statistics here. His quarterback might be pretty dang good.
Okay.
He's got, 70% completion, over 1,000 yards already, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception.
He's never seen Earl Little Jr.
He hasn't. I'm going to ride with Florida State, but I might be starting to see why this line is a little closer than I would have thought.
Okay, well, we'll see Florida State. I'm taking Florida State by a million because I'm a believer that loss wasn't so bad because I think Florida State,
I do think
they got a nice formula going. All right, let's spend a Saturday. On 11 a.m. on Fox, you've got a ranked matchup, USC against Illinois. So we'll always hit the ranked matchups, and then we'll focus on the SEC games. USC, 6.5 points. I mean, first off, Lincoln Riley complaining. Did you see him complaining this week, Katie?
Yeah.
Complaining about, we had the latest kickoff time last week, and we have the earliest kickoff time this week. Come on, what are we doing here? You got 7 days, 6 days between games. What are we doing here?
They can't catch up on sleep, Joe.
Oh, my. Maybe you shouldn't be playing teams on the East Coast because you're hunting the biggest contract, you're destroying college football by destroying the Pac-12. That aside, Katie, do you think USC or Illinois wins? Illinois got destroyed last week by Indiana. USC, a 6.5-point road favorite. Oh, I think we lost Katie again. Go ahead, Mason.
I'm going to ride with USC. I think Illinois was maybe exposed as fraudulent last weekend. That I have a feeling that's going to continue. I don't really know just how good USC is either. I think their quarterback's pretty good. He's playing pretty well right now, at least. But I'm going to ride with the Trojans in this one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take USC as well. If you're a big favorite on the road, I think that is a good sign. So here we go. First SEC game, 11 a.m. ABC. Notre Dame, 1-2, is going on the road to Arkansas. Arkansas has like so many storylines. Will Bobby Petrino get Sam Pittman fired? Is he stabbing him in the back? What's going on with Taylor? Like all kinds of internet drama. Hunter Yurecek, is he he's the AD at Arkansas, I believe, basically said, we've got limitations on our football program. Notre Dame, a 4.5-point road favorite as they go into Fayetteville.
Man. Oh, man.
Sweet.
I do really like this Arkansas team. They're fun. They score a lot of points. Notre Dame has not impressed me so far. They've been in all these games, though. Like, it's not like they've gotten blown out. Notre Dame's still a better football team, probably. But I do like Arkansas. What's that line at?
4.5 for Notre Dame.
I think Arkansas covers that.
Send the thunder from on high.
I'd take Arkansas to cover that. I probably would take Notre Dame to win. But I think Arkansas can cover that. I'm a little giddy about the Pigs this year. Taylor Green's good.
He is good. But Katie Windham, does Marcus Freeman finally get a good win?
I'm just wondering, like, what the morale is like in Fayetteville after two like brutal losses of games. You should
lost to Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, really, both games. Like, I turned them on. Arkansas has the ball, driving to win, like either down one or two or whatever. They can basically win with the field goal. I think in both games, at Ole Miss and against Memphis. Both games, they have a fumble in the last 2 minutes. And it's just, I don't know if it's the same kid. If it is, I feel horrible for him because I'm sure he's gotten a lot of hate. So I just wonder what the morale is like there. But yeah, I'll go with the upset for the Hawks, even though it wouldn't surprise me if there's going to be like close to as many Notre Dame fans in the stadium as Arkansas.
I'm a sucker for big brands. So Notre Dame, let's go. Marcus Freeman, let's go get the season back on track. They're going to go 10-2. And at the end of the year, you're going to have Notre Dame people be like, we belong in the playoffs. We beat Arkansas on the road. I won't be standing for that, though. But I think they'll win this game. Let's spin forward. We don't care about all these games. The rest of you, hey, Utah State and Vanderbilt fighting Commodores anchored down 23.5 point favorites.
Hammer and Vandy.
Absolutely. That's right. Ohio State goes to Washington.
Sneaky good game, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. It will be a good game. It's on CBS at 2:30. But we're going to skip ahead to 2:30 on ABC. LSU goes to Ole Miss. Whit Weeks takes on his stepdaddy's team. Ole Miss is a 1.5 point favorite. You're going with the new quarterback for Ole Miss. The transfer is going out there for his next start. I think it's his third start in a row. Actually, Trinidad Chambliss is his name. He has looked good. Katie Windham will. Will Lane Kiffin embarrass his future son-in-law?
I don't know, because I don't know what to make of this LSU team, because I think week one, I didn't get to watch that game, but the LSU Clemson game, this was a great matchup. These are two playoff teams. And then obviously Clemson's been kind of since then. So it makes me wonder, you know, how good really is LSU? And then Ole Miss, I haven't got to watch a ton of them either, but they've been, you know, deciding on a quarterback, which I don't love that you're still working that out at this point in the season. But I have a friend whose brother plays for Ole Miss, so I'll go with the Rebs.
Hotty toddy, gosh almighty, Mason, who the hell are we?
I'm all right with Ole Miss. I don't think LSU's a good football team. I think they're an okay football team. I think they're fine. I think they're an 8-9 win football team. But I don't think they're a contender in the SEC this year. They've not shown me any reason for them to be a contender in the SEC. Katie said it right there. That week one win over Clemson looks worse and worse every week. You get 5 turnovers against a mediocre Florida team seemingly now, and you get 20 points out of it? That's atrocious. Give me the Rebels in this one.
I like Ole Miss as well. I like it to be a pretty close game. What did we say the line was? 1.5 for Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss definitely going to cover that 1.5. What's the over under? That's my big number. 57.5. I think you go under right there because I do like LSU's good defense. But I don't know that they're able to find a way to keep up with Lane Kiffin and his offense. So Ole Miss will win at home, and the facade for LSU will start to crumble. Katie Windham, I know you felt so bad for Auburn this week after the officiating gaffes out at Oklahoma. Auburn is going to Texas A&M. Texas A&M is a 6.5 point favorite at home. It'll be 2:30 on ESPN. How bad did you feel? And I know you were inspired by John Cohen's statement yesterday saying a whole bunch of nothing. How do you feel about Auburn and Texas A&M and really Auburn in general?
Yeah, I mean, I was heartbroken by all of that. I'm glad that John Cohen stood up to the big officiating machine yesterday, really gave it to them 2 days before their next game. I mean, look, like bad calls happen in sports, especially in college sports, all the time. Alabama had a touchdown wiped off against Oklahoma that, you know.
I missed Greg Byrne's statement. Maybe he put it out, but I just missed it last year.
Yeah, so I don't know. But it's just different down there. We don't understand.
Family.
I think – I don't know what to think of this A&M team, but I do think because it's at Kyle Field, and I think A&M's going to win.
Yeah, I'm riding with A&M. I think I would take A&M, and I think if you can get them on an alternate line at like 12.5, I'd probably take that too. I think A&M wins this game pretty easily. I like the Texas A&M team. I think they're good on offense, and I think this is the first year really – that they've had a pretty sound defense. They are nasty up front. I feel good about what they have around the rest of the defense. I think they will win this game pretty handily.
I'm with you, Mason. I think it's going to start slow because I do like Auburn's defense. I do like Auburn's defense, but I don't love Auburn's offense.
Jackson Arnold has shown me nothing this year.
No, I watched my only real exposure to Auburn was that Oklahoma game. And I watched that game thinking, why aren't you just throwing it up to 8 every play? Because you don't have anything else. So I'm not really inspired that they can go into Kyle Field and pull off an upset. I do think Texas A&M will win this pretty handily. It'll start slow, but Texas A&M will just stretch and stretch and stretch away. It's kind of my pick. I think A&M wins and wins fairly easily. We'll keep going. Lots more good games in the 2:30 window. I like Utah, West Virginia. I like Indiana, Iowa. So if you're looking at out-of-conference matchups, those are fun games. Tulane and Tulsa at 3 o'clock. Seems like it might be an interesting one. Let's skip ahead to the next SEC game, though. Number 15, Tennessee, is at Mississippi State. Tennessee looking to put the Georgia game in the rearview mirror and beat up on another set of Bulldogs. Katie Windham, will Mississippi State stay undefeated, pull off an upset? Tennessee is a 7.5-point road favorite.
Yeah, this is a fun one. I didn't realize until like halfway through this week till I saw a tweet that like this game was even happening this weekend. Look, I picked the Bulldogs a couple weeks ago on Football Friday against Arizona State. They were a team coming off a playoff berth. Tennessee's a team coming off a playoff berth going into Stark Vegas, so I'm going to keep riding with the Bulldogs, just vibes, until they prove me otherwise. I'm going to go Mississippi State. Maybe Tennessee's still licking their wounds a little bit from kind of blowing it against a big opportunity against Georgia, so they're going to have some Bulldogs keep teaching them how to behave.
I think Davis Wade Stadium is one of the last places you want to go after a tough loss like that one they just took last weekend.
Yeah,
you do not want to go hear that for 60 minutes. I think I'm with Katie on this one. I still think Tennessee is a good football team, but I think that skid might continue this week. I think you might get a little bit of a fluky win from Mississippi State here.
Oh, I could see it. I definitely could see it. I'm going to stay. I'll pick
that
Tennessee.
7.5 is complete disrespect.
Yeah, it should be at 3 or yes. So. Yeah, it should be at 3. I'll take Tennessee to bounce back here. I like Josh Heupel as a coach, and I like how he runs his program. But I do think Mississippi State's going to keep it close, and I think that my Tennessee fan friends are going to be sweating in the fourth quarter. But I'll take the talent level of Tennessee to rise above and win on the road. Lots of more good games. You got Arizona, Iowa State at 6 o'clock, Virginia Tech, NC State at 6 o'clock as well on the CW, Virginia Tech with an interim coach looking for a new coach. Are they going to hire Mike Vick? They might. All right.
I like Mike Vick as a coach. I think he's probably doing fine at Norfolk State, but
he's getting experience.
That's a huge leap.
Only Mike Vick can revive the program. At 6:30, Katie, you're already going to be locked into Alabama and Georgia, excuse me, right there in Sanford Stadium. But the nation's going to be split. At 6:30 on NBC, number 6 Oregon goes into Penn State. Neither team has played very high competition thus far this season. Penn State, they're whiting out. It's a 3.5-point favorite for the Nittany Lions at home. What do you think happens in this big Big Ten matchup?
I never, ever believe in Penn State in big games, so I'm going with Oregon.
Hit the nail on the head right there. James Franklin cannot win big games. He simply can't do it. I will ride with Oregon as well. They're also wearing some sweet, like, uniforms this weekend. I saw a picture of them yesterday. It's like this, like, graphic on their sleeves that look cool. You know, all kind of, they're doing big things over there. Give me the Ducks.
I'm usually not one to be like, If a program loses one game, you need to fire the coach. But you've set this schedule up. You're playing Nevada, FIU, and Villanova. You've given up a combined, 17 points. Let's do a quick math. 86 and 46 is 92 and 4. 132 to 18 over these 3 weeks. You got a bye week before Oregon's coming to town. You've all hyped up, you know, Beaver Stadium, Happy Valley. Oh my! But Oregon's going to come in and win, and it's going to be proven right. It's going to be embarrassing if Penn State loses.
It is a weird spot that they're in, just with James Franklin, because he can't win big games. We know this, but like, are you going to fire the guy?
No, you're not. I'm being.
You know, it's just they're in limbo. You know, they're just stuck.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Oregon as well. So 3 Oregon Ducks picks right here because sorry, James Franklin. None of us believe in you.
Not at all.
At 6:45, Kentucky is on the road to South Carolina, trying to give the Gamecocks their third straight loss. South Carolina is a 5.5-point home favorite. Does Shane Beamer stop the skid, Katie Windham?
Wait, who else did they lose to besides Vanderbilt?
No, Vanderbilt and Missouri last week.
Oh yes, in Columbia, in Missouri. Yes, not a great spot for South Carolina, not what people were thinking preseason when I did my story last week during the bye about ranking the toughest games left. I went and looked, and I think South Carolina was picked by the media either fourth or fifth in the SEC, pretty high up. And they've obviously not lived up to that so far. But I don't really ever believe in Kentucky either. So I think South Carolina is – I think they played better against Missouri. I watched the game at base, just kind of what I saw on the box scores. I'll go with Gamecocks.
Yeah, I think I will ride with South Carolina as well, but I don't think that anybody in that building is going to say, all right, Shane Beamer, you stop the skid. It's going to be like pulling teeth to get a victory in this game against Kentucky. You know, like 13-10 South Carolina escapes.
If they were playing anyone other than Kentucky, then it would keep going. But Kentucky's not going to play well enough to win the game. So I'm going to take South Carolina as well. All right, we're here. Last game of the day, or last game of the picks. It's at 6:30, our main game. Alabama is going over to Georgia. Katie Windham is going to be taking Will Miller and Hunter DeCiver into Sanford Stadium for their first time. You can follow all the coverage at Alabama Crimson Tide on SI, BamaCentral.com. Katie Windham, the Crimson Tide are a 2.5-point underdog as they go into Athens. What are your final thoughts on this game? And you can make a pick.
Kind of what I've been telling everyone this week, or whatever shows I've been on, it's like something's got to give, because Alabama has not been good on the road under Kalen DeBoer. And that's not just like a one-off thing. Like, that is like, it's true at this point. Like, we have 1.25 seasons of proof of it. Like, but then, like we talked about earlier, Kalen's good coming off a bye. Kalen's good in big games. Alabama's been good against Georgia. So it's like we have these two conflicting things that something's got to give. I actually like have my gut feeling is that Alabama will win, but I'm done predicting them to win on the road until they prove me otherwise. So I'm going to pick Georgia.
Katie Windham taking the dogs with Mason Woods. Final thoughts on this game.
I'm kind of in the same boat, you know, in my gut, I want to pick Alabama kind of because the same reasons that Brooks Austin laid out for us yesterday, like just vibes. I don't know that Kirby can get the Crimson Tide demon off of his back. I do not trust this Alabama team. They've not given me any reason to really trust them this year. So yeah, I think I'm going to ride with the Bulldogs. I think it'll be close, but I can just see it now. You know, Alabama's right there in it late in the game. Georgia's got the ball. Here's your back-breaking long touchdown to extend the lead from 3-10, just to put it out of reach, something like that.
Yeah, I have no faith in this Alabama defense. None at all. You're not generating sacks. You're not playing the run very well.
It'll be Nate Frazier on a 60-yard touchdown with 2.5 minutes left to go up, you know, 38-28 or something.
It's going to end up being, it's going to be on the 40-yard line. You need a stop. It's 3rd and 4, and Gunnar Stockton pulls a quarterback read, runs for 12 yards, slides, and gives the first down, and the place goes bananas. Yeah, I do see the monkey on Kirby's back in this game, but I think he's made of nails, and so he's going to get this off his back. I think that George is going to win, and honestly, I don't – unless Alabama can just keep up offensively without a running game, without a running game, you're asking Ty Simpson to just go bar for bar with the Georgia offense. And Gunnar Stockton's got a lot more versatility. He can hand the ball off. He can, you know, use his running game. And they're not asking him to throw the football down the field much. I'm worried that this is going to be 10, 13 points, that it's going to be Georgia by a comfortable margin. So I think I will take Georgia, and I'm going to take Georgia 34-24 is my score. And fellas, prove me wrong. I'd love it. Prove me wrong, and we can laugh about how silly I am all week long next week as we go into the Vanderbilt game. All right, so that's going to do it for a Football Friday. Katie Windham's got to get out of town. She's going over to Athens. Reminder, subscribe to Crimson Flame. She's got 2 episodes out already, an introductory episode, and a great conversation with Gianna Paul, Alabama's all-time leading scorer, right? She broke the record.
Yeah, she's their all-time leading goal scorer. I'm not like a huge soccer person. Stephanie, the SID, did want to point out she's not their all-time points leader, because in soccer you get like points first, but she's 4 away from that. So I'd say barring injury, the odds are pretty good that – she will break that record by the end of her senior season as well.
There we go. So the all-time leading goal scorer for the Crimson Tide joined Kitty Windham on her first main episode of Crimson Flame. Find Crimson Flame on all the podcast platforms. You can see it on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We've got a lot of great stuff on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We want to keep you looking at that, especially tomorrow when the boys get off the bus, go into Sanford Stadium for the first time, and really going to be a lot of great stuff post-game. I don't see Georgia storming the field if they win. I do see them burning Athens down. But they won't get on the field right there. Kitty Windham, follow her at @KittyWindham_ on the Twitter machine as she leads our coverage. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend. Enjoy it.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Follow Mason Woods at @MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. We're going to be having a lot of big recruiting news. I'm sure that you're going to be able to get some reaction from recruits, maybe some, how we're feeling about this game after it happens, win, lose, or draw. You can follow Mason Woods at @MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. The Crimson Tide was busy this week giving out scholarship offers to 27s. So you can read about that on BamaCentral.com. Follow me at JoeGaither6. Call Derek Daniel for all your insurance needs. Leave us a voicemail reacting to the game, 205-462-7340, extension 800, to be a part of the Monday program reacting to the game. We will talk to you on Monday. It's been a great week on the show. We'll talk to you on Monday. It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.